Praise the Lord. You guys have your Bibles. Let's open them up to Romans chapter 8. You know, in Romans, we're going to cover more territory sometimes than others. Sometimes we're really going to slow down. I might not slow down my speech pattern, but we'll slow down the amount of verses that we're covering. And this is going to be one of those. We're going to look at only chapter 8, verse 28 today. Let's read this together. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And notice Paul says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Let's pray. Father, this is a challenging verse. It's not challenging because we don't believe you. It's challenging because we oftentimes don't understand. And Lord, I pray that you would help us now today to rise above our lack of understanding. That rather than worrying about what we understand or what we don't understand, we would just simply know that you are true to your word, and what you say is true, and what you promise you will do. And God, in this verse, you promise us something that can challenge us because we see a lot of good things happen in our life and we see a lot of bad things happen in our life. And when these things happen, Lord, it's easy to accept the good. It's easy to realize that's from you. But when what we see as bad happens in our life, that's tougher. And yet, Lord, we know that you're working it all together for your glory. And even what seemingly is bad or tragic down here, you have glorious plans eternally through it for us and for your glory. So, Lord, open your word to us. Teach us this morning. Feed us. And for those who may be wondering whether or not what's happening in their life is truly your hand or not, or whether or not somehow they've been forgotten, I pray that today the promise would be renewed. You're in control. You love them. And you have a plan. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 28 here, again, we're going to be looking at God's basically planning our life. Now, in these three verses, it's planned, called, justified, and glorified. We're going to get to those next week. But the only thing we'll get today is simply the fact that God is in control of our lives. God has planned our lives, and God is working them together for his glory and for our good. Now, notice those two elements. For his glory and for our good. It's not just for his glory, which would be enough, would it not? Truly, if we love the Lord and if we are dead to ourselves, then we should be able to say, God, as long as you use me for your glory, that's good enough. But God doesn't stop there because God loves us. And God takes it to the second level and God says, not only am I going to do it for my glory, but I'm also going to do it for your good. And yet when these times come in our life, and some of you may be there right now, it can be very challenging. You may begin to wonder, has God forgotten me? Is God ever going to bless my life again? Could there really be any purpose or good for this in my life? It reminds me of Jacob when there was a famine in the land. And God sent a famine, the Bible says, in the land. God sent it. Why? For his glory and for their good. How could it be for his glory and their good? Well, what happened? You know the story. They had to go get food. Jacob sent his sons down to Egypt. Now, in the meantime, they had sold their younger brother many years earlier, Joseph, down into Egypt, not knowing what had happened to Joseph. God had his hand on Joseph, and using all things together for Joseph's good as well, had now raised Joseph up to being number two in the kingdom in authority in Egypt. And might I add, number two, probably in all the authority of the world, because Egypt was ruling the world in this day. Now, they didn't know that, and he had changed a lot. Many years had gone by. He was shaven, no longer having the Hebrew beard and all the dress that they would have. He looked like an Egyptian. And they went down there, and Joseph recognized them. And so Joseph began to play this game to find out where they were, where their hearts were, had they really repented. And if you remember, he grabbed Simeon, put him in jail, the oldest, and left him locked up in jail, and then sent the others back. And they went back and came to Jacob and said, he said, where's your brother? He said, well, this man down there, he accused us of being spies, and he took our brother and threw him in prison. And Jacob's like, oh, no, what? This? How could it get any worse? He goes, well, it does get worse. Because he said, in order for us to get him out, we've got to take Benjamin, the one that you love. Remember, he cherished Benjamin. Because Benjamin was Joseph's only brother, and he was the last one left from that mother, and he was the youngest, and he guarded him and protected him because he didn't trust his brothers, and he'd already lost one son. And Joseph said, you've got to send your youngest son that you talked about down here to me. And they told that to Jacob. They said, unless you send Benjamin back with us, there's no way we can be saved. There's no way that we can get food. There's no way we can get our brother back. And he said, Jacob, remember, said, all things are against me. And yet it was exactly the opposite, wasn't it? All things were for him. How so? God was using this to drive them as a family down into Egypt so that God could build a nation the nation of Israel, and some 400 years later, bring them back and start what we know today as the redemption story. But guys, who would have known at that moment that God was doing that? That this was God's plan? That this was God bringing the famine? God causing the problems? God causing the stress, the anguish, the anxiety, all these things so that they could be where God wanted them to be? And some of you this morning, that's where you are. There's anxiety in your life. There's stress. There's pressure. There's questions. There's doubting. There's all these things happening. And God says, I'm in control and I'm doing it. And guys, what we're going to see today, God not only allows these things in our life, God sometimes causes them. And that's exactly what the scripture teaches us. And so that's what we're going to see today as we look at this. I read a true story this week about a king in Africa who loved to hunt. And while he was hunting, he accidentally shot off his thumb. Now that would not be a joyous event. And yet when he shot his thumb off, the man that was with him, it was a traveling partner that was with the king, and he was trying to encourage the king. And he said, it's going to be okay. It's all good. It's going to be something that works out for good. The king was so furious that he had just lost his thumb, the shock, the blood, all the things that were going on, that he took that man and said, how can you even begin to say anything good can come out of this? And true story, threw the man in prison. And while the man sat in prison for a year, the king went hunting again, but he went to an area in Africa where cannibalism was rampant. And he was warned not to go. He knew he shouldn't be there, but there was some great hunting there. The problem is he ended up being the hunted. And according to the story, he was captured and they were literally going to cook him and eat him. And when they tied him up to the stake to cook his body while he was still alive, they noticed his thumb was missing and they panicked. And they began to unwrap him and they let him go. And he asked them, why are you letting me go? They said, leave, get out of here. He said, what's going on? They said, you're not whole. There's part of you missing. And we believe that it will not be blessed by the gods and their superstition if they ate someone that's not whole. Now, that's kind of strange, but there you have it. You know, the bottom line is the king realized when he left there, had not my thumb been blown off in a hunting accident, I would be dead today. And he was thankful that his thumb was shot off in a hunting accident. Guys, it's all perspective. And oftentimes when we shoot off our thumb or shoot off our mouth or get in trouble with a family member or do something we shouldn't do, and it ends up bringing turmoil and stress and trouble and all this into our life, we think, God, how could you ever use this for good? And God says, I'm going to use even that, because if you're one of mine, I'm working all things together for my glory. And that's what we're going to see in this verse today. Again, let's look at it together again and break this down. Notice in verse 28, Paul says, and we know that all things work together. Now, I've stressed this every time we've taught it, so I don't want to overstress it, but I do have it underlined. It is all things, not some. He says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Again, one of the most famous verses in all scripture, and really a scripture that sometimes I think Christians love to hate and hate to love. Why? Because if you're going through a difficult time right now, if you've shot your thumb off or some other tragedy's happening in your life, you found out you have cancer, you've got a family member that died, your house burnt down, you've lost everything, whatever the case might be in your life, you're thinking, how could this be something God could use? How could God get glory out of this? And how could God make me more like Jesus through it? And that this is exactly what God says he will do. And he uses every bit of it, guys. God has no waste. You know, when he fed the thousands on the hillside in Israel, he would say, now take up the fragments. And you think, man, why do we need to gather up the fragments? You just fed 5,000 people. You just fed 10,000 people here. Why are we gathering up the fragments? Because God doesn't waste anything in the believer's life. And every fragment of your life, every detail in your life, he is using in some form and fashion for his glory. And I'll tell you, when you begin to understand that, it gives you a different perspective of everything. You know, we took off for Israel, as you guys know, 3 weeks ago tomorrow. It was on this Sunday, 3 weeks ago, that I got sick. Now, I wasn't sick Sunday morning, so I didn't know I was sick. But we left, and I got sick that Sunday, so I was sick before we left. The entire time I was there, it wasn't like I felt horrible, but I had a cough going, and my voice was gone, and I couldn't speak almost the entire 2 weeks we were there. This is a teaching trip. And I'm thinking, here we are going, this has never happened to me, guys. If there's one thing I can do, it's talk, okay? So we go to Israel, they're there for a teaching trip, everybody's paid this money, we're all their land, and I can't talk. Now, it's not about me, that's not the issue, but I was the one guiding them through there and doing the Bible studies and all that, and God brought this to my mind. All things work together. There's a reason even for this. Now, I was able to speak at the sites. I think sometimes I spoke and they wish I wouldn't have. Sounds a little bit like a crow sitting up on a pulpit or something. All right, I'm out of here or something, and I don't know what it was. And I'm sure a couple of times, I mean, one time Tracy almost said to me, why don't you just have somebody read it or something? It was bad at one point, right? But the bottom line is I know because of this verse, God intended that. Do I know why? I don't know why. Maybe it was so people would, we would focus on the land. We'd focus on the Lord. I don't know what the key was and all that. I still don't know what God did with that or didn't do with that. But I know that because God uses all things, guys, even something like that, I could have mourned over it. I could have, oh man, we did this. I could have fretted over it, but I had rest. And when you truly understand this verse, you know, you're about to finally have your senior basketball game. I remember when Adiah was playing basketball and in one of her years, it wasn't her senior year, I think it was her junior year, she loved to play basketball. And she had an injury going into her junior year that took her out for an entire year. And you think, what in the world could that do? What would be the purpose of that? What good could come out of that? Now, I'm not saying I know what the good is yet. But when you have an understanding that God controls all things and all things work together for good, you can sit that season out and say, Lord, it's all right. Sure, I'm upset. Sure, I'm disappointed. But you know what? There'll be another season, and you're using this one to make me more like you. And so that is what God is doing in some of your lives this morning. There's things happening right now, things maybe that aren't happening right now, whatever the case may be, and you don't understand it, but God does. And God says, I'm working it together for his good. Now notice here, Paul basically authoritatively declares that if we love the Lord, and if we're called according to his purposes, that is the purposes of God, that everything, and I want to stress everything, that happens in our lives is not only ordained of God, it is for his purpose and his glory and our purpose. Now, again, that doesn't mean that everything is likable or that you're happy that it happened or that it's not a bad thing. Don't misunderstand me on that. It doesn't mean that when you break your leg, you have to say, well, praise the Lord, I just broke my leg. That's not what this is saying. I've seen people like that. Something tragic will happen, you know, whatever, some tragic thing happens and they're happy about it. Listen, I think we need to learn to praise God in all things, but you're not always happy about everything. God is not saying, I expect you to be happy about every tragedy that happens in your life. He's saying, I expect you to understand that I'm in control and I'm using it and I'm going to use it for my glory. It's interesting. Literally, the verse reads this way. And we know with absolute knowledge that for those who are loving God, all things, and this is key to me, all things are continually working together, resulting in good for those who are the divinely summoned ones according to God's purpose. In other words, God is, in the language there, taking every detail in your life and continually stirring it together to make this recipe that's going to be a blessing in your life and bring him glory. Now, sometimes for you ladies that cook, and maybe some of you men that cook, I know there's some great chefs that are men. You know what? Not every ingredient that you put in your food is great. Now, I'll tell you, when you get up late in the middle of the night and you're really craving chocolate, you can go to that area where that baking chocolate is and you can convince yourself, after all, it's chocolate. I mean, it's bound to have some redeemable value. It doesn't. And after my first bite, I was like, it's horrible. I thought, who could ruin chocolate? This is demonic. But the bottom line is, guys, when you take that chocolate and you melt it down and you add some sugar and you add some butter and you add the flour and all the other ingredients, it's wonderful on the other side, is it not? See, there's a lot of bitter ingredients that God is working together in your life this morning that you don't understand, but he is making a recipe that is going to bring him glory. And he's also going to make something sweet out of it for you. I know you don't understand it. I don't always understand it. But here's what the challenge is today, and we're not done. But here's what the challenge is. Trust him. And believe him. God, I don't know how this could bring any good, but I'm going to rest in you, and I'm going to trust that it will bring good, and I'm going to look to you to believe. And I'm going to choose to believe by faith. And I think we have to make a conscious choice to say, by faith, I'm going to believe that God's going to use this for his glory and for my good, even though I can't see how at all. And you know what? You may never see how down here on this planet, but one day you're going to know. Now, what makes this verse even more intriguing to me is that it's written in the grammatical form of the causative. What do I mean by that? Causative. It means that God not only allows bad things in our life and everything else that happens, sometimes God causes them. Now, we might say bad. It's not bad in God's eyes because God is doing it for a reason. Maybe you broke that leg because if you'd have played that year, you'd have had a heart attack. Now, again, I know that wouldn't be the case with my daughter, but I'm making a point. Maybe something happened. Maybe you wrecked your car because you would have died right around the corner. And you're going, if God loved me, then why did I wreck my new car? And God's saying, you would be dead in 5 minutes had I not done that. And if you could see from God's perspective, you'd be saying, praise you, God, that I wrecked my car. Thank you, God, for what you've done, you know? Now, I know that sounds bizarre, but if you can begin to realize that everything that happens, the flat tire in the rainstorm, God has a reason for that. He has a purpose for it. And you may not understand all those reasons right now, but one day you're going to get it. And if you can learn to rest in God, you can actually praise the Lord in the midst of a horrible situation. I'm not saying you're thankful for the flat tire. I'm saying you're saying, God, I know you're using this and you're going to use it for your glory. God declares, I'm going to do it. We simply have to believe by faith. And here's another challenge for us. Sometimes when these things happen, we are tempted to complain. We grumble. And basically, when we grumble and complain, guys, if we truly believe this verse, we're basically grumbling and complaining against God. And we're saying to God, your plan is not good enough for me. God, you've messed up on this one. God, I'm upset about this. Listen, is that not what the children of Israel did in the wilderness? They complained and grumbled against the Lord, and they wandered in the wilderness for 38 extra years. They weren't supposed to wander. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But it demonstrates a lack of trust and a lack of faith in the Lord. And personally, I love this verse. These kind of verses don't upset me, you know, saying that all things happen. I don't get mad at God because it says that even some bad things that happen in my life, God is working together for good. It gives me rest. Because I realize that I've got a Heavenly Father who's working this, all these ingredients together to bring this recipe together that's going to be something that's going to be beautiful for His name. And one day it's going to be worth it. Again, he says, as we said before, all things work together. But notice here, the words work together, it means to help or to be a fellow worker in a goal. That means that God has a plan or a goal for the end result in your life, and He's taking all these parts and working them together like a big stew to make it come out into what He wants it to be. And unless He puts all the ingredients in and works it together, it's not going to be what God wants it to be. But this is necessary to fulfill His plan. So it helps us becoming more like the Lord. Again, that tragedy in our life, that problem, that thing that's been destroyed, that car wreck, whatever, it works in our life to develop us and shape us and make us more like the Lord. It is a helper alongside of us. Now, I don't know about you, but in my mind, I think, well, I'd like a little bit better helper than that, right? But guys, it's a helper that is getting us to an ultimate goal that we can't get to any other way, which means it's worth it. Now, what's interesting about this verse, he does give a couple of stipulations as to who this verse applies to. Again, just saying that you love the Lord or you believe in the Lord, if you leave it at just, I believe in the Lord, I don't know this verse applies, because notice here he says, for those who love the Lord and are the called. There's two stipulations. You have to love the Lord and you have to be the called according to His purpose. Interesting here, the word love is the word agape. I know you know that word. It means selfless love. It means putting someone before yourself, which means what it's saying is you choose, first of all, to love God more than you love you. I don't know if you guys struggle with that, but I do. But we have to learn to put God before ourselves. He says, if you're doing that, if you're loving me before you, and then secondly, he says, basically, loving me, yes, God, more than you love yourself, and then living for me according to my purposes, that's number two. Then this is your promise. What does it mean to live according to His purposes? It basically means to serve the Lord in what He tells us to do. What is it God's asking us to do? We trust Him and we obey it. We answer the call. We follow Him in that. And then we say, all right, God, I'm loving you and I'm doing what you've asked me to do. What is it you want me to do? I'll do it. God says, if you do that, then I give you my promise. If you're loving Him and you're living according to His purpose, everything that happens in your life is going to be happening for good. Now, guys, here's the challenge I want to leave you with on this verse, and that is this. Think of all the bad things in your life right now. Think of the physical problems, family problems, the work problems, the marital problems, the kid problems, whatever problems you have right now, think of them. All right, you got those in your mind? Now, let me challenge you with this. Do you love God, and are you living according to His purpose? If you love God and are living according to His purpose, all of the bad things you just thought about are His design to make you more like His Son. Wow. Guys, I don't like being molded and shaped and changed any more than you do. I don't like the feeling of forcing something to change that doesn't want to change. Those of you that lift weights, if you want to see any results, it's got to hurt a little bit. You've heard no pain, no gain. The same thing is true in the spiritual realm. If God's going to make you like He wants you to be in the kingdom, there's got to be some pain, but the pain has a purpose. It's interesting. Maybe you've heard of the tool copier. This is actually a machine, and men, you're going to love this. Women, you won't really care unless it can make mascara and some kind of hand cream. But men, you're going to love this. Literally, you can take a tool and set it in this machine, and it makes you a copy of the tool that's usable. And you say, how in the world is that possible? Because you put the ingredients, either the metal or the material that it's made out of, the fiberglass or whatever, you put it in there. It takes a picture of your tool. It sends that digitally to the machine, melts down the materials, makes a mold for that tool, and spits it out on the other side. And it's a usable tool. This is amazing. But guys, it's a real picture of what the Lord is talking to us about in this verse right here. And that is, God will take us. He will take a picture of himself. We will never be Jesus. We'll never have his power. We'll never have his glory. But he wants to make us a copy, an image of himself. And if we're ever going to be an image of the Lord, he's got to melt us down and reform us and spit us back out the other side. It's the only way it's going to happen. And some of you guys right now are in the copy process. Some of you guys right now are in the melting process. Some of you guys are getting spit out the other side. Whatever the case might be, he's got a goal for your life and in your life, and he's changing you to be like him. My challenge to you today is, do you believe him? Will you take a step of faith and believe that everything that's happening in your life, he is either allowed or he is causing? And even if it makes no sense, even if it seems purely evil, even if you can't understand it in any imagination that God could use it, I'm going to ask you right now, take a step of faith and believe God at his word and say, God, I have no idea how this could be to your glory. I know that the enemy has done evil things in my life. You either allowed him to, and then other things in my life you've brought into my life, but I'm trusting that you're doing this and putting boundaries on it by your power and your glory, so I'll be more like your son. So Lord, have your way, number one, and number two, I believe you and I'm waiting on you to change me. Guys, it'll transform your life, because now rather than being panicked about your situation, you can rest and say, God is in control. I want to pray for you and ask for God to help you to do that, and me as well. Let's pray. Lord, it is truly my heart and my desire, God, that you would help us to grasp this verse today, to understand that everything that has happened, will happen, and is happening in our lives, you've either allowed or you've caused. But you've done it for a reason. Even if you've allowed the enemy, Lord, to mess with our life, even if you've allowed tragedies in our life, you have done it for your glory so that you can be glorified and so that we can be changed. It is for our good. And although this may go against every fiber of our being right now, it may be the hardest thing to believe in our heart and soul and mind right now, God, we choose right now to take a step of faith, to believe you and to take you at your word. And I pray, God, that as we do that, we would have rest. And so, Father, I thank you. I pray for any right now that are going through a situation where they don't understand what's going on. And maybe they're going through a trial and going through whatever the case might be. And they're wondering, does God love me? And is God ever going to use this? I pray, God, that you would just let them know right now that you are using it, that you do love them, and that you're making them into the image of your son. And we give you the glory for that and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.